Headline Sports Show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Stack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go to go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
Yes, yes, I am super excited for today's show. It should be a fantastic one as we are deep into our NE8 preview today and to our high school previews overall with the high school football season starting this month. DC, we are 19 days away. 19 days away. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but no. Yeah. It's kind of been like a slow build, but at the same time, summer went by fast. So it's one of those yeah, but no kind of deals. But it'll be here before we know it, man. School starts August 10 days from now for Fort Wayne Community. So, yeah, Friday nights, foggy, you know, those Friday night lights will be here before we know it, man.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Friday night football weather out there right now with rain and kind of cloudiness, and it's a little dreary, a little chilly. But it's definitely fitting for today's topic as we are talking more high school football. We have a loaded show for you, as we always do here on a Sunday morning. And it is all things all NE8 today, as we're going to go through the conference that has produced a lot of really good teams the past few years, probably actually since it's started. You know, we've had multiple teams from this conference that have made deep runs in the state playoffs. And it's been a very competitive conference at the top since its inception back in 2014, 2013, I want to say. It's been a very competitive conference over the years. Will this season be competitive? I hope so. But it feels like that there might be one clear team at the top, and we'll get into that here in moments. We're going to have Leo head coach Jason Dorfler on here in about 15 minutes. Can his Leo Lions come back and compete for the top of the conference this season? I think so. I think what they have coming back is pretty exciting over there in Leo/Cedarville. And then we'll have a team that was right there with East Noble last year, DeKalb head coach Ryan Roberts joins the show. Robertson, excuse me, joins the show at 11:40. Can the Barons continue this momentum after losing some key pieces? It feels like their whole offensive skill talent is just gone from last year. So can they rebuild on that side of the ball? It feels like they have some pieces that are coming back, including a transfer coming in that might be able to help them. And then we finally finish off the interviews today at noon with Columbia City head coach Brett Fox. The Eagles have been competitive in this conference for quite some time under Brett Fox. And this team, I think, has the pieces as well to be competitive once again. They're making a change at quarterback, and feels like that they're moving some pieces around to try a little bit more to be a little bit more dynamic on offense this year. And they should have a better defense, an improved defense this year. So we'll get his thoughts coming up at noon, and we'll go through the rest of the conference, give our conference predictions on who we think will win the conference this year. And I think this conference, going through the stuff this past weekend and more early this morning, it feels like there's a lot of talent in this conference, and that's, you know, how it's been for quite some time. And there's some especially elite talent at the top, with guys like Austin Phillips, who's getting recruited by all the big boys out there in college football. And it's going to be fun to see how that team, in particular East Noble, it feels like this could be a really good year for the Knights. And I'm super excited because they're going to challenge themselves in the non-conference with Northside and Snyder. I'll be up there in Kennedale week one. Should be a great atmosphere. Nice. It should be.
So you get to see this guy.
Yeah. One. Yes.
Love this coach.
Yeah. Shout out to Coach Ben Johnson. Always tuning in here on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much for listening, Coach. We'll talk about your team next week. And as of right now, we have nothing but positive things to say. And it feels like out there in the college football atmosphere, there's been a lot of positive momentum on Northside this year. So we'll get into we'll get into the legends next week for sure when we talk about the SAC and coming into that week one matchup against East Noble. But, DC, you published an article this past week with our partners over at Outside the Huddle, having your top wide receivers. And speaking of the legends, I believe you had Malik Moore at the top, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah, so you had him at the top, and then who was the rest of your list, or who are some of the standouts that people should know, the top wide receivers going into the 2026 season, according to DC?
Yeah, I mean, so far, because I've already gotten my next two positions ranked, next coming out will be offensive line and defensive line. I already got those done. Wide receiver was the hardest position to rank for me. You know, thanks to, you know, area trainers and stuff, we have the most talented wide receiver. I would say the most talented wide receiver throughout the state. I think our region has the most talented wide receivers. You know, you still got Monshon Sales down there in Indy. You got a couple of guys, Brandon Sharp. But in terms of a whole, we got a lot of talented guys in our area for wide receiver. You know, Traction trained some guys that I know, you know, Dre Muhammad, who pretty much is the top trainer in the area for wide receivers. They all pretty much train over there, at least most of them. Yeah. But the wide receiver was the hardest position to rank, like especially when you get players. The first player I want to mention that was very close to being in my 10, and, you know, stat-wise, you know, because he had like 600 yards, I think 7 touchdowns, and that's Alex Phillips for East Noble. He was right, like, I had him, like, right at the, like, 8 to 10 range. And so full disclosure, he's going to be, I'm going to go ahead and just say it. He's definitely going to be in my top 10 for defensive backs. Because I personally, I think Alex Phillips is a better DB than wide receiver. So, you know, you get those positions where, you know, you got guys that play both sides of the ball and they're also very talented on both sides of the ball. So it's hard to distinguish the difference, and some will be on both sides of the ball in the top 10. But there's, you know, there's just so much talent at the wide receiver position in this area. But, yeah, I had Malik Moore at number one. To me, that's no question. He didn't have the most receiving yards last year, but in terms of talent, he's the biggest threat we have in this area. If you haven't seen Malik Moore for Northside, get out this season. He's a senior. Go check him out. Kid's talented. Deep ball threat. He can run routes. Also plays some DB. He's an athlete, so he plays both sides of the ball. But in terms of wide receiver, he's the most talented. Malik Moore, to me, was no question to have at number one. I had Maddox Weil at number two. Also, no question to have them at one and two. Maddox pretty much can pick wherever he wants to go for college, and he's only a junior. Hasn't even played one snap as a junior yet and already has offers from Notre Dame and Miami, Florida, And this is a kid as well that I've seen. I got to see him front personal, obviously last season, but also he came to our Indiana Preps winter showcase. And remember, he's still a sophomore at this point. And he comes in, and man, he cooked everybody there. I mean, and we're talking guys from the Indy area that are, you know, getting top offers as well. And as a sophomore, to be cooking them in one-on-ones and routes, he stood out as the standout for offensive player of the day for the showcase. He was just that good. So after seeing that, I was already sold after the season, but after seeing that, he's only getting better, which is scary. So, it was honestly hard to pick for number one between him and Malik Moore, but my personal opinion, Malik Moore is just a little bit more talented. Number three, I had Harrison Sheely from Carroll. He's another kid that I think people need to watch this season. You know, last year, Carroll obviously had that record-breaking offense with Freisinger at quarterback. Yeah. You know, they threw for, 3,000 yards. He threw for 27 touchdowns. And 1,400 of those yards went to Van Pelt, who is walking on at IU right now. at wide receiver. But in addition to that, almost 1,000 of it also went to Shealy last year and 6 touchdowns of those 27. So he comes back. I think he has got to be a front runner for a top wide receiver as well. Still got Freisinger at quarterback. They're still going to sling that thing. So got him up there. I had Javon Irby from Southside in my top five as well at number 4. Another dynamic receiver that if you get a chance to check him out, he can run the ball too. I mean, he ran for almost 400 yards last year, 730 receiving yards, obviously a plethora of touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, 5 receiving. So he's becoming a threat as well. He was also at the Indiana Preps Winter Showcase and did a great job. Rounding out my top 5 before I just say, you know, guys that were outside the top 5 that I think are ones to watch. Number 5, I had Wesley Somerset, who is committed to Bowling Green State University. He is going to be a linebacker, actually, at the next level. But he's still playing wide receiver. And if he's still playing wide receiver, you're telling me a guy that had 1,500 receiving yards last year and 16 touchdowns. You got him coming back. Does have a new quarterback, so we'll see how that goes. But I think they'll still be fine with him on the offense. He's still going to be a trouble for defenses, you know, on Friday night. So Wesley Somerset was in my top 5 as well. And then outside of that, I had Alex Scott from East Noble, which we'll talk to. We already talked to his coach at Media Day, at least you did. So that interview's up. And then one guy that I really want people to pay attention to as well. You know, I did have Jackson Robinson from Northrop in the top 10. But the one name outside the top 5 that I want people to watch is Donald Gage. He was pretty much – it was either him or Alex Phillips who I was leaning. I think that was pretty much where I was at. It's tough once you get to the – you know, you can only have 10, so only so many get in there. But Gage is another name that I think people forget because New Haven, you know, had a rough season last year, but do return their quarterback in Trey McCraney. And Gage has 600 yards last year. And a few touchdowns. I think with those two guys back in the offseason to work together, I think they'll be a good tandem to watch for this season. But guys that I was watching right outside that, you know, that I have pretty much on my short list of notable guys that I think people should watch. Like I said, Alex Phillips from East Noble is definitely a name to watch. You got to watch him and see how he plays this season. Nate Javens from Lures is a name at the wide receiver position that I want people to watch as well. And then there's one more guy that I know we're going to be talking to Dorfler from Leo about, Landon. Landon is another name. I forget his last name. I just always call him Landon. But he's another name that, I mean, he didn't have, you know, huge production last year at the wide receiver position. But in terms of talent, I think Landon is one of the most talented receivers we have in the area as well. And I look forward to talking to Coach Dorfler in a minute or two about him as well. So those are just a few names right outside that 10. You even have a couple freshmen. Freshmen that haven't even seen a snap yet to watch. Jaden Haller from Northrop, who already has like 10 power school offers and hasn't even seen a snap of varsity football. Cooper Sherman, who was stepping in at Carroll as well. So there's so much talent. Like I said, the wide receiver position, we are loaded in this area. So you can check it all out outsidethehuddle.net. And like I said, I got offensive and defensive linemen coming out this week.
Yeah, I think what you're speaking to is like the depth of the talent here, as opposed to like the top end guys that are down around Indianapolis, you know, like you said, with Sharp and Sales down there. And then, you know, obviously there's still a bunch of talented guys down there around Indy, but it feels like here in Fort Wayne, we have a lot of talent. And a lot of it is, you know, around Fort Wayne. And it speaks to, you know, what Dre Muhammad and the guys over there at Traction are doing with some of the talent that they are, you know, helping build up here in the area, but also speaks to the style of play, because there are, you know, a few teams outside of the city that do throw the ball, but inside the city, it's a lot of throwing. There are some cases where, you know, it's a very pass heavy, and a lot of it's, you know, outside of the city in particular is very run heavy, you know, so it just depends on the style of play. But when you get in those city limits, there's a lot of talent. And even some of the guys that you mentioned that are outliers just outside of Allen County are pretty talented as well. And it should be, I think, a really fun class to watch this year, a group of guys, I should say, to watch this year at the wide receiver position. No doubt about it.
I think what's going to be the hardest task this week, though, in addition to my rankings, is us having to make predictions on the NE8. I was looking over the NE8 earlier this morning before we started the show, and I'm like, I still haven't made up my mind. We started the show, so I got to have it before the end of the show. And I got my list. The NE8 is loaded, right? I think the NE8 is the most talented conference we have in the area. It's from top to bottom. I mean, there's 5-6 teams that could win this conference right now in my eyes.
I say, I'm looking at the standings from last year, and I go down at least to number 5 as far as the teams that will, I think, again, will be competitive once again this year. You know, I think New Haven, Norwell, and Belmont all have their, you know, struggles, I think, and they might once again this year. I think a couple of them might improve by a win. I think they will be better as well, but it's, you know, how much better are they going to be? You know, are they going to be two wins better, four wins better? I don't know about that, because it feels like the top five of the NE8 have, you know, there's a little bit of a gap between those top five, I think, and those bottom three. Even though I do expect, you know, a program like Belmont, who's got a new coach this year, it feels like there's at least some enthusiasm down there, or some renewed enthusiasm. So hopefully they can, you know, get something on in the win column as they haven't the past four seasons. So. But there are a lot of things to be excited about in Northeast 8 conference this season, and we'll dive into all of that here more in just a moment. But as DC mentioned, you can find his article at Outside the Huddle as one of our partners, as you can see by their logo at the bottom. Make sure you get to outsidethehuddle.net. They bring you the best of prep and basketball coverage here in Northeast Indiana, and we are proud to be partners with them, with those two fellows over there that run the site. We know them well and love them both dearly, and they have a lot of stuff coming out. You know, their top 50 players are coming out, so their lists are coming right alongside DC's. They're cranking out lists, previews. I know they're going to start getting into conference previews here in the next week or so, as we are, like I said, now in the month of August. It is really starting to hit the ground running, as first practice is tomorrow for these programs. So the fall sports calendar here in the state has already started, as girls golf was able to start practice on Friday. And now the rest of the sports can start tomorrow with the, you know, football, volleyball, and the cross country and soccer, all that sort of stuff. So soccer as well, as I know your son will be out there on the practice. He's already been doing a lot of conditioning and stuff. It already is like, oh yeah, he's already been going through it. So
I've reached hunt status, bro. I got a high school. Yeah. So I've officially,
yeah,
it's over for me.
Nah, it's not over for you. You got plenty to look forward to. It should be a fun year for you and your son playing soccer out there for Snyder as well. So it should be a fun year. Let's dive more into the NE8, and let's bring on Leo head coach Jason Dorfler, as he'll join the show here. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, not a problem. We are looking forward to having you on, and we're looking forward to seeing, you know, what your team can do this season. You know, as you kind of look at it as a whole, you know, you guys lost a very talented player and a guy like Nathan Foster, who we had here on the show. I think he was on one of our first shows back after we brought the show back, and we're happy to have him on as he made his college commitment. You know, but overall for this 2026 season, what excites you the most going into the year?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned we lost a really good group of seniors that had, you know, played a lot of football and won a lot of football games. So, you know, we have a good group coming back, not a big group. We have 10 seniors, which is pretty small class for us. And, you know, a lot of them have played quite a bit of Friday night football, but some of them have not. So ready and excited to kind of see what they can do on Friday nights.
So I mentioned, you know, you do have a receiver that I think people need to watch, and you have a couple of skill players that I do believe are kind of under the radar, but you still have some guys on offense sticking with the offense right now. Talk about some of the guys you do have coming back that are going to help lead the program this year and take a bigger role.
Yeah, you know, the biggest hit in graduation, obviously, you know, Nate, you guys mentioned Nate Foster, but we had four senior starting offensive linemen last year. So that's kind of where you start when you try to build an offense. And we're going to have some guys step up. So Gus Stuckey, he's a senior that played a lot of defensive line last year, but we're going to ask a lot of him on offense as well. Jake Clemens is a returning starter. He started as a sophomore last year, so we're expecting a lot of things out of him up front. And then, you know, the skill positions, you mentioned Landon Kinchy was a starter for us last year as a 10th grader, gained a lot of experience. So we're expecting lots of things out of him. He's very talented, as you mentioned. Running back wise, we're going to kind of have quite a few candidates competing for a job. So Paul Woods is a guy that has carried the ball. He's also been a starting linebacker for us. So we expect him to do a lot of that load. But we got some other guys, a senior in Braxton Merida. And then Isaiah Detmers is a name that you guys should probably follow along with. He's kind of a two-way guy, or could potentially be a two-way guy. He started at safety for us, but he's our fastest kid in the program and fastest kid we've had really here at Leo since I've been here. So, and that's saying something. So we're expecting a lot of things out of him. You know, yeah, but we got skill guys. We got to shore up the line and have some guys step up. I do want to mention our quarterback, or candidate for quarterback, Luke Marcourt. He's had an outstanding offseason, and he'll be a junior, and he's ready to take the reins.
Yeah, you mentioned Isaiah Detmers, and he was on my list to mention here because he was one of your top guys. And you mentioned on the defensive side of the ball how important he has been. It sounds like he's going to take more of a role in offense. For you, you have, you know, at least looking, you know, just based on the numbers from last year, it looks like you have a lot, at least some experience coming back on the defensive side of the ball, led by, you know, Detmers and guys like Sam Miller. You know, for you on the defensive side of the ball, you know, outside of those two guys, and you can highlight on them as well, you know, who are you looking to step up on that side of the ball as well?
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat. We're going to need some depth and some guys to step up along the defensive line. But we, you know, in terms of returners and talent, we feel pretty good about the linebackers and the secondary positions. There's just a lot of good players. Brett Souter was first team all NEA. He has started since his sophomore year, but he had an elbow injury last year. But the coaches still voted him first team all conference. You mentioned Sam Miller. You know, he was a freshman that got some playing time last year. I think it was his third game that he had ever started or played in on Friday night, and was against DeKalb in week 9, and he had 16 tackles, which is just a couple short of the school record for single game, and he did that as a freshman. So there is some talent. We got to – you know, shore it up and work together and play, you know, solid team defense. But, you know, we looking at it with practice starting tomorrow, I think you could maybe make the argument that the defense is in, we know a little bit more about our defense than our offense at this point. Let's say that. Mm-hmm.
So coach, where do you stand right now? You know, as we were talking, and I know you were backstage, so you could hear a little bit of our discussion talking about how deep the conference is. So like, I guess, you know, as we still got a few weeks until the season starts, where do you stand right now with your program? Where do you think you guys fit in, and how do you kind of, what do you guys need to do in order to take that next step and get back towards the top?
Yeah. You know, what's cool, I guess, about the NEA is you get a pretty good gauge of, you know, we play each other in seventh grade, we play each other in eighth grade, and then into the high school seasons. So you kind of get a gauge of the classes and how they match up and stuff like that. And I would say, you know, I think it's wide open, the conference race. I think there's a lot of good teams. you know, East Noble's won it 2 years in a row, so you probably need to start the conversation there. And they have a lot of talent returning. You know, Columbia City is always tough. DeKalb is always tough. Huntington is a team that they have a very talented senior class. And you guys mentioned, you know, the New Havens and Norwells and Belmonts. They put a lot of time and effort into their programs, and there's no doubt that they will be improved. And there's a lot of parity, in my opinion, across the conference this year, probably more so than since I've been here. And you're going to have to bring it every week. And then, you know, we get no relief come postseason time. Our sectional is loaded as well, and a lot of those NEA teams are in there as well. So, you know, we're going to have to really grind it out throughout the season. And, you know, we were talking as coaches that our margin for error this season is smaller than maybe what it's been in the past. And, you know, that's a challenge, and it kind of makes it a little bit more fun as coaches. You know, every single day, every single practice is important. So, you gotta really get after it every day and be ready to compete every Friday night, or you're going to get beat.
Yeah. I mean, you say there's no reprieve from your conference schedule. There's no reprieve, you know, right from the get go for you guys with Wayne and Bishop Chatard in the first 2 weeks. You know, what, you know, with those two non-conference games, do you feel like that just adds a whole nother level of making sure you guys are ready when the postseason rolls around?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wayne is going to be a huge challenge. Just in terms, there's talent there, and I think, Coach White does a great job, and that they're going to be confident and ready to go and expect to come over here to Leo and compete and beat us. And we're going to have to be ready to go. And then we do have a unique situation with our second non-conference game. Typically that had been Angola. We had moved on from that contract, both schools. And then we were in kind of a unique situation where we had to find a 1 year week two game, and there weren't a whole lot of options. So we get to travel to Indianapolis, which is going to be a great experience, and play one of the traditional powers in Indiana high school football. So, you know, haven't really looked too much at them. I know that they're good, and they will be good, and it'll be a huge challenge. But it'll be a very cool experience for a lot of our guys. Typically, we don't get to make those long trips and travel, and that'll be a good experience.
Yeah, Coach, it feels like, you know, with your team this season, you have, like you mentioned, the talent, you know, with, you know, especially with a couple of other guys that, you know, the guys that you've mentioned that you're bringing along, you know, for you going into this season, is, you know, what are you feeling like the confidence level of the guys are and you know, your confidence level of going into this season and, you know, prepping for it? I mean, you still have, I mean, we just, like you said, practice gets underway tomorrow. You know, where do you think, like, expectations level and confidence level are right now going into the 2026 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think our expectations are always going to be high. You know, that's a tribute to the tradition and the past of Leo. You know, there's an expectation of winning and competing for conference championships and postseason championships. So, you know, I think we have high expectations. We also understand that it's not going to be easy. You know, we have a lot to replace. We have some guys that don't have a whole lot of experience on Friday nights, and they're going to have to grow up and grow up quickly. And, you know, that there's a little bit of urgency to everything we do, which is kind of it's fun. It's exciting. You know, there's got to be an edge or urgency, or like I mentioned before, you know, you're going to get beat. So you got to be ready to go. So I think there's confidence, but there's also a sense of we understand the challenge that's ahead of us.
Coach, Thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Good luck this season, and we look forward to seeing what you guys can do in the 2026 season. All right.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the coverage.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. That is Jason Dorfler, head coach of the Leo Lions, joining us here on the Sideline Sports Show. And yeah, it's going to be. I saw just popping up that schedule and saw Bishop Chatard, and I'm like, whoo. That's a challenge right there. I mean, that's a team that's gone to state multiple times. I think specifically in 3A. No, and it's not the first time that I think an NEA team. I want to say East Noble played Chatard a few years ago, or it might have been another. It might have been Cathedral. I can't exactly remember offhand. But I want to say East Noble played one of those programs back in the day. It's going back at least, you know, a handful of years now. But Leo is one of those programs that's not afraid to go and play a program like that. And
Coach agreed with me, man. I stand by it. I'm on record. I've said it a few times. NEA has the most parity of any conference in our area this year. It's wide open. You know, obviously there's teams at the top. I think there's like three or four teams at the top that you could make an argument that could win the conference. And like you said, there possibly is a little bit of a drop-off after that, but we'll see. I mean, those teams that we're claiming them, it might be a drop-off in terms of talent. Those teams are also getting better. Mm-hmm. So this conference is going to be crazy this year. I'm so glad that, you know, I get to see East Noble week two. I got every team on my schedule this season at least once. So it's going to be a good time this year.
Yeah. And it was a Cathedral back in the day in 2016 that East Noble played. And it was an unfortunate result. It was a 48-0 whooping for the Irish. But still, that's what I appreciate about these teams in this conference is that they are able to go out and play the likes of, you know, a Mishawaka, a Bishop, Chatard, and then a Cathedral. And, you know, East Noble has, you know, done that repeatedly, especially with the opening of the SAC schedules, going against the likes of Snyder, Wayne, and now Northside this year. So it should be a very fun season, I think, for Leo. It should be, like I said, they got to be ready right from the get-go this season for Leo, or it, you know, bringing out a lot of new guys and facing those two opponents right off the bat. It can set your season in many different ways, I would think. So, but
I mean, as always, as we got a lot of people joining in right now, this is the NEA preview this week. We got the SAC preview coming up next week, but this week we're talking NEA. Previewing the season, making predictions later on after all the coaches come on and try to change my mind on who I have winning the conference and the order that I have lined up. No, I'm just kidding. But if you have any predictions, the comment section is open. Like we said, we're streaming live we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we are on X. Just search Sideline Sports Show or Bryson DC, and you can get your comments in, your thoughts in, and if it's airable, just like any show, we will get it on the screen and talk about it. Very excited. This NEA. And as we get into our next coach, you know, I have Bryce, you know, I got a little extra love for this. You know, I try not to be biased, but covering baseball, I got a little extra love for the DeKalb Barons. So I'm looking forward to asking coach about a couple of these kids that, you know, like you said, have to, replace a lot of guys from last year. But the DeKalb Barons, we're already getting some. We got to go Eagles.
Yep.
Columbia City, obviously.
Yep, I think that's if that's correct, Jordan Perry. I think that's their new QB.
Could be there. It could be the quarterback. So a little biased there.
So he's going to be listening to his coach coming up here in about 25 minutes. But let's bring on DeKalb head coach Ryan Robertson. And coach, were you on that East Noble staff back when they played Cathedral? Because you were a longtime East Noble defensive coordinator. Were you on that staff way back when they played Cathedral?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Coach.
Make sure. Yeah, when you brought that up, it was kind of funny. That was actually my first game as the DC co-DC with Cliff Hannon, who's now the principal at East Noble. That was our first time being defensive coordinators. So that was a really fun game. Yeah, 42-0. my quarterback's coach, Andrew McCormick, was the starting quarterback then.
I remember that.
It was fun. It was a cool experience. It's something that's good for those guys to see. But, yeah, that was my first introduction to calling a varsity football game.
Well, I'm sorry to bring that up, that memory up for you, Coach. For you this year, you're going into your second year over there in Waterloo. First good season for under your belt for you guys in the Barons. What are you hoping to build off of last year's and hopefully keep that momentum going into this season?
Biggest thing for us, just like you said, carry the momentum. There was a lot of new last year. New for me, new for the kids, new facilities. We played our week one game with everybody on the same side of the field because our new stadium wasn't ready yet. So we had so much change and so much new. Every week had something completely different, a new headache. We had new athletic director. Every single week was just a new headache that was hard to overcome, even with being a first-year head coach, even with being in a new school, new program. There was always something else that was new, and now everything is set. So going into year two, our facilities are now ready. They're amazing. We're building more and more stuff every single day. There's fences everywhere. Every program's getting new stuff. So if you haven't seen a game in Waterloo, you guys probably should come check it out. Everything is beautiful. Everywhere you see things are getting upgraded, and we're just going to try to keep building on the success of not only the football program, but all of our programs across the board.
Yeah, baseball team not too shabby either. So should be spread out across the board. But, Coach, I don't know if you remember last year, but I wrote a really fun story on your quarterback from last year, Eli McCormick, who one of the most underrated players I've ever seen, didn't get nowhere near the credit I believe deserved. Last year, unfortunately, he graduates. Tell me a little bit about what you had in a quarterback last year in Eli McCormick, and then look forward to this season and tell me what you got for you, at least as of right now, as we got a few weeks at the quarterback position.
Yeah, so with Eli last year, I mean, I remember our very first conversation in the weight room. He was one of the first guys that I walked up to and I said, hey, man, the quarterback position and the head coach position, they're the worst two things to be in a football program, because when you win, everybody tells you you're the reason. And when you lose, everybody tells you you're the reason. And Eli, I mean, he did everything right when I was there. He is the reason why we had as much success as we did. And I mean, he was a great leader. He was a good teammate. He did everything we asked. And he had never had the opportunity to really start on a Friday night himself. And he and his senior buddies, they just took over and they wanted to help change the program. And they set the foundation for what we're trying to do. So I am forever indebted to Eli and all the rest of those seniors. There was a ton of them that helped turn this program around as fast as they did. It is a huge, huge thing that I'll never be able to thank them enough for. So yeah, Eli did an amazing job for us. When you bring up positions, it's really hard to talk about them because we got a lot of practice left before the season. So we're in a really good spot. We did graduate a lot of guys, but we have depth all over the field. We have a lot of Friday night depth all over the field that there isn't a lot of clear separation yet. And you can argue a guy in almost every position on offense and on defense of why they should start in this scenario, why this guy should start in this spot. And that's why I'm really pumped for the next 3 weeks to see who's going to stack back-to-back days. Because in the summer, you don't normally get a back-to-back practice. You'll get a practice here, and then you'll say, hey, we'll see you again in 4 days, or we'll see you again next week. And it's really hard to see the growth of a kid and the growth of a player over time. So, I mean, I could talk about a bunch of players. I'm not going to stick in a certain position group right now because, like I said, we got a bunch of kids that are all trying to compete for Friday night spots. So, yeah, you can ask away and we'll go from there.
Do you, Is there any, you know, change in what the offense will look like or defensive side of the ball with so much new? Is it you going to try to fit it to those guys, or do you kind of have what you want to do similar to last year and those guys you're going to try to, you know, piece it all together? You know, what is your philosophy for this season in particular?
Biggest thing for me is we'll change whatever we need for the best 11 dudes to be on the field. So as a defensive coordinator, always throughout all of my years of calling the defense, we've ran a billion different things. And my thought process has always been put the best 11 kids on the field, and then you adjust yourself to fit those kids. Because in high school sports, you get whoever's walking the hallways. And we've done a really good job of recruiting the hallways and just getting – I'm trying to get the best athletes that walk around our hallways out on a football field. A football field is for everybody, man. I want everybody out there. Doesn't matter what you play or what you do, I want you on our sidelines. And then we'll let everything else take care of itself. When those best 11 get out there, we'll try to fit the system to them. Who's going to be the guy on 4th and 2 that you're going to go to, or who's going to be the guy that's got to get that 3rd and 11 stop for you? So when you say, what are we going to run offensively and defensively? I mean, yeah, you want it to fit your system in one way or another, but we're going to tailor it to our best few guys.
So a few guys I wanted to ask about, you know, in particular, and I'm, you know, like I told Bryce all the time and the listeners, I try not to play favorites, but there are a few kids on your team. You know, I cover baseball as well on my baseball podcast. And, you know, a couple of guys I've interviewed and covered a lot this past season, you know, Malachi Webb, Miles Brockhouse, and Drake Hall. Got to talk to them at media day. They're obviously very excited for this season, but I have their coach now, their football coach. So I want you to tell me, from your perspective, and I know you got other guys that play, you know, on the baseball field as well, but those three guys in particular who have a lot of football experience and will play a lot as well. Tell me about those three guys and what they bring to your football program.
Yeah, a real quick funny story. When you talk football and baseball, those kids were talking about if they made it to semi-state that they would miss our trine camp. And they were like, well, you're going to move trine camp, aren't you? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not. And I'm like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I want nothing more than you guys to go compete at a semi-state level. The baseball's varsity roster, almost 80% of them play football. Mm-hmm. So we had a good majority of them that weren't at our trine camp this offseason. But you can't tell me that Miles Brockhouse pitching a semi-state baseball game doesn't make him a better athlete.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, when you talk about – those top-end guys, those top-end seniors that did play for that baseball team, that it only made them better for carrying that over to a Friday night, because they've been in those moments that are so important where just this much can change everything. Yeah, like Miles Brockhouse is one of the most incredible kids that walks the hallways of Waterloo. Like what he had to do for us last year. He was the only returning offensive lineman last year with any type of Friday night experience on the offensive line. So it was him and four dudes. One of those dudes was his little brother that was only, he was our only sophomore starter last year, Maddox Brockhouse. So he's having to yell at his little brother. He's having to yell at four other guys. And he brought that offensive line together and turned them into something that we're now leaning on this year as our core returners. And like you said, Drake Hall's junior all-state safety. He's now going to be expected to play both ways, expected to play anywhere that we put him, expected to never come off the field. I mean, he's a guy that could go on and play college athletics in multiple different sports. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. Malachi Webb is actually getting removed of his double-digit number and being put into a single-digit number, and is now going to be hopefully our starting tight end. So we're expecting a lot out of those three for sure.
Coach, what did you learn in your first year as a head coach? Obviously, you were a DC for quite some time, a very successful one across the conference at East Noble. What did you learn about you yourself in particular in year one as a head coach?
That's a great question. I don't really know. I would say the biggest thing that was new or different was you had to be really diligent with your time. And everything that you do has to be what's best for your program. Like, that's literally all I think about 24/7. I struggle to manage home and football. Like, that's something I'm having to really learn through. I would say that when I was just a defensive coordinator, everything didn't matter to me. The only thing that mattered was the defensive side of the ball. I didn't really care what they did on offense. I didn't really care what the kids did at school. That wasn't my responsibility. Where now I'm around these guys every single day in a bunch of different settings, and I watch everything that they do. I watch how they walk in the hallway. I watch how they stand and wait in the lunchroom line. I watch them in the weight room. I watch them talk to their girlfriends. I watch everything that they do, and I process it, and I hold it in the back of my mind trying to figure out who's going to be ready in winning time. Because how you communicate with your art teacher and how you communicate with the principal of the building, how you walk in the morning, what you put on the rack for squat day at 8 o'clock in the morning, I know what you're supposed to put on. You know what you're supposed to put on. Did you put the correct weight on? And did you do the correct amount of reps? I'm not going to always yell at you, but I'm always watching. And so all of our guys in every little setting that I can find, even if I see them out in public, if I see them at a restaurant, how do they care themselves? What do they do? So that's the biggest difference, is I no longer just care about one side of the ball and the guy. I care about everything. And I use all of it to decide who plays on a Friday night and who we're going to give the ball to when it's winning time.
Yeah, I know a lot of things that you learn too as a coach is, you know, you can't do it alone. You know, it takes a team effort in order to, you know, win ball games and create a winning culture with the program. And you mentioned Andrew McCormick, who you have as a quarterback's coach, but you also happen to have one of the top running back coaches and trainers in the area in Ty Lawson. Talk about what he means to your program as well.
Yeah, Ty's one of the guys that when I took the job, he was excited to possibly come over with me. And I gave him a larger role. And he's doing a lot of really good things for our program. He's a guy that can get around the program as much as humanly possible. And that's all you can ask for out of a coach. He has ties to the kids outside of school. He does a lot of training with our guys off the field as well throughout the summer and throughout the winter. And then he also is a really good guy to bounce ideas off of on a Friday night. And he's amazing with the young guys, because not every coach is willing to go down with the JV and freshmen and work with them. It's really hard to push kids down there. But Lawson, if you say, hey man, I need you to go be the guy with the young guys, he's actually willing and wants to better everybody in the program. And so when you have guys like that, it's big. We actually have we lift in the mornings on Mondays and Tuesday mornings, and we had anywhere between 6 and 12 coaches there at 8 a.m. in the morning for our lifting sessions. So we have coaches that are able to make it in the morning, which is huge for our program, seeing kids, and even not in a football setting, doing speed and agility and weightlifting. So what we've got going on in Waterloo and at DeKalb is really exciting, because we have a ton of coaches. We have a ton of coaches that are invested. Like I said, we could have on a Monday morning somewhere between 6 to 8 guys at an 8 a.m. all sports lift, not just football program. It was for everybody. And I would have somewhere between 6 to 8 coaches, 12 different coaches between 2 days, loving on kids. So we've got some really good things, and you named a couple of guys, but we have a ton of really good coaches.
Coach, when you look at, you know, you're right there at the top of the conference last year. When you look at the conference, the rest of the conference, obviously you're familiar with pretty much everybody in there. You've been in this conference for quite some time. What do you see as far as the depth and how far it goes, and where do you feel like your team fits in with that?
Well, I was on in the little waiting room thing, and you guys were talking about the depth of the conference. Yeah, the NE8 in all sports is incredible, but the NE8 in football is just psychotic. The how good the NE8 is in football, it just blows your mind when every single game that you go into is a high level football game. And like you said, then you go into our sectional, which is essentially the same guys plus a few other really, really good football teams. And I don't really put predictions and I don't look into that stuff. We have so many little things that we need to fix and look at. I just know that every game that we go into is going to be incredibly hard. And I just try to get the kids as ready as humanly possible for that. When anybody wants to argue conference for conference on football or when you win six games in this conference and three games in this conference, if anybody is willing to jump into the NEA, we'll take them for a year and let them run through the conference and see how they do. Because, yeah, it is top to bottom some of the best coaches in the area, top to bottom some of the best players in the area. And every Friday night is going to give you more than what you bargained for.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. When I covered East Noble back in the day for the News Sun, I was very familiar with what you were able to do with East Noble and that defense. You always had that thing rolling and always made them an NEA contender, always made them a contender to make it deep into the postseason. And, really happy for you and what you're able to do over at DeKalb. I think DC and I both have a little soft spot for DeKalb, as that was the first program that I covered when I joined the paper back in the day. So appreciate you coming on the show this morning, and good luck this year. All right.
Yeah. Hey, man, I appreciate you guys. I think what you guys are doing is amazing. Yeah. Right. So we ran circles back in our past lives, mm-hmm. and it's cool to see each other in new roles, and appreciate what you guys do for not only our program, but for everybody's program. I mean, these kids put in a lot of time, and if anybody can cover them, and I know we didn't get to a lot of kids that I didn't get to talk about, but they'll make names for themselves moving forward throughout the season. Just appreciate you guys and covering DeKalb football.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the names that we're looking forward to. I know you got a lot of position battles coming up, and I'm ready to see all these names are going to sneak up. I feel like Eli snuck up last year, and there's going to be some guys just like last year that snuck up. Vice is another guy that I don't think a lot of people are aware how talented he is either. So yeah, you got a lot of talent. So I'm looking forward to seeing.
So Eli Schwab, I mean, he was honorable mention linebacker last year, but I mean, yeah. He was top three in the conference in tackles. He led our team in tackles. He didn't miss a single thing over the summer. He's literally the standard of our program. He's an amazing kid, amazing human, semi-state qualifier wrestler. He's incredible. He's going to do amazing things for us on both sides of the ball this year. But those other guys, I want them to make the name for themselves. I'm going to let them, that junior class, our junior class is loaded with talent. Loaded with talent, but the only one of them with any varsity experience, like I said before, was the Brockhouse, Maddox Brockhouse. He started on the offensive line. Now, Vice got into some games, but he was never a Friday night starter. So I'm going to let those guys make names for themselves. Over the next 3 weeks, they're going to figure out who's going to start on a Friday night, and they're going to take over. I mean, we have a bunch of them that are going to start one way, some of them that are possibly going to start two ways, and I'm excited for them to chomp at the bit and see what Friday Night Lights looks for them, but I'm gonna let them tell their story.
We are looking forward to it, Coach. Again, thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we can connect down the road and see a game in Waterloo this year. All right.
Hey, well, you let me know. We'll put you up in that brand new press box, and we'll get you some pork burgers, and we'll let you have a good old time.
I love it. I remember the days back in that old cramped press box, so I'm definitely interested in seeing the new digs the dang up there.
Pork
so.
Burgers.
Yeah. Yes.
And the old one's still there. We rewrapped it. It's great. Yeah. So there's plenty of seating out of the weather.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
That is Ryan Robertson, head coach of the DeKalb Barons, and a lot to be excited about.
I gotta have one, bro. Like, it's just
you do. Anywhere you go north of Fort Wayne at a game this year, you got to have one. It doesn't matter if
never
it's
even
Waterloo.
Heard of them.
Yeah, Waterloo, Albion, North Fremont. Fremont. I mean, they're all good, man. They're all good. It's definitely a delicacy. I say, I don't know how much, but it's something that's unique to Northeast Indiana, especially north of Fort Wayne. So yeah, super excited to see what Coach Robertson's able to do over there in Waterloo. And had a really good year in year one. Very competitive in the conference. As you said, they were right there, finished number two in the conference, were 6-1 in the standings last year, were right there with the likes of an East Noble and right there. And he mentioned the sectional. I mean, that sectional is just gross. Gross in like, it's so many teams. When you look at that section 19 that they're in, you got Columbia City, you got DeKalb, you have East Noble, you have Bishop Dwenger, you have Northside, you have Leo, and then you have New Haven, who is always going to be competitive in that type of manner and has the kids to do so. The only other team that is like a weak link in that is Wawasee. Like, you have six out of that eight teams in that sectional.
Yeah.
Whoever gets that sectional, it's going to feel like something more than just a sectional championship. And it's usually the team that comes out of that sectional is usually a regional champ, is sometimes a semi-state champ. I mean, you have multiple teams that have come out of that sectional 19 that have gone to the state finals or to semi-state. That thing prepares you like no other type of schedule that you can even think of. It's absolutely loaded and it's crazy every single year.
Yeah, we'll see what we get. You know, we've talked about, you know, how wide open, this conference is this year. We and two teams, you know, and DeKalb and East Noble have to replace two of the top passers, you know, in the conference. Eli McCormick, the quarterback for DeKalb last year, was the leading passer, threw for the most yards last year. And so they're going to be replacing him. There's a lot of teams that's going to be replacing a lot. And so that's why I think, you know, this conference could be up for the taking. You know, a lot of people are just ready to give it to East Noble. And they do have Austin Phillips, Alex Phillips. They still got Alex Scott and, you know, a couple other guys as well that are still, you know, on the program. But a lot of these other teams got a lot returning too, you know, and it's the quarterback position is really tough to replace. It's really tough, especially when you have, you know, a quarterback that's, you know, leading the conference in passing and is, you know, clearly your best player. It's really hard to replace that. So looking forward to, checking out this conference, man. It's loaded all the way across the board.
Yeah, for sure. It's loaded from top to bottom. And then a lot of these teams, like Coach Robertson mentioned, go into that sectional that we were talking about. And it's loaded from top to bottom. It's difficult for, you know, the 9-week regular season, and then you have 3 weeks to hoist a sectional championship, and you earn it if you get through that sectional, if you get through the conference as well, because this conference has been pretty difficult in many ways. You know, going back, and it all depends on, you know, it's kind of shifted a little bit with some of the teams. It's kind of gone cyclical. You know, you had Norwell, who has been up there in the past and been one of the top teams, and they've been near the bottom these last couple of years. You had New Haven, who's competed for the conference and was a co-conference champion just 3 years ago. You had Leo and East Noble at the top. You had Columbia City, who's been at the top as well of the conference and been very
competitive. I'm excited. I'm really excited to talk to Coach Fox, because full disclosure, and I think I told you this last year, you know, my favorite player last year was Gavin Smith in the whole conference. And so they lose him, man. I'm looking forward to learning a little bit about this program. You lose a kid like Gavin Smith, who walks, talks, and just like he's got it all, bro. So, you know, and obviously he's at the next level playing at Indiana State. But they got a lot of guys coming back. I got to see them at the 7-on-7, the OPS summer shootout. I've seen some things I like. So, man, I'm excited. This conference, like I said, and oh, I just seen this too. Hey, shout out Coach Ty watching too.
Yep, he's watching. I saw that comment pop up. Shout out to Coach Ty over there. So yeah, no, I'm in agreement. And if we want to learn a little bit more about the Eagles, why not bring their head coach up on the screen now as he's joining us here? Sure. Coach Brett Fox in his 13th season with the Eagles now. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. For you, as DC was mentioning, some of the guys that you lost, off of last year's program. But what excites you the most about coming into this season this year?
I think, you know, the thing that excites me the most is just, you know, we got a lot of returning guys. Yeah, we lose key pieces, and yeah, I appreciate the shout out for Gavin. And you know, he's got the career lead and interceptions for us, and you know, that's going to be a huge piece in our defense. You know, he played center field back there for us at free safety and made a lot of plays for us. And you know, it's hard to replace a kid that you know, he scores on fumble recovery, scores on an interception return, he scores on a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, a punt return, and a kickoff return, all in his career and all, you know, over the last year. And so, like, it's really hard to replace a kid like that. And you kind of look there and see that. And it's not one person's responsibility to replace that. You know, it's going to be us as a team trying to replace that. And then at the same time, like, you've got to adjust as a coach within your defense and those kind of things to maybe play a different kind of style and play one that your kids fit in and that they're successful in. But I'm just excited for you mentioned all those guys, but you know, the fact that we're bringing back three starters on the defensive line really excites me. You know, Jace Pettigrew was a IFCA All-State junior defensive end, and he's back for us. Gavin Shepard and Tanner Ryder back on the defensive line for us is a great thing for us. And, you know, bringing back three or four guys on the offensive line, those are guys that don't get talked about a lot, and they're not flashy, you know, but offensive, defensive line, win games. And so that's what we're hoping for with those guys returning for us. And I think what I'm excited about the most is having those big dudes up front. So,
yeah. And so I'm glad look, coach, this is my first time talking to Coach Fox, and he already is helping me with my next question. He's already leading me in.
Just I agree. Lock him up so you can knock it out of the park.
Oh man. Home run right here. So you led me right into my next question. Offensive line, I would argue, is your biggest strength of your team. You know, you have two guys that, you know, I'm not trying to give too much away, but I do have, you know, a top 10 offensive lineman list coming up outside the huddle.
There you go.
Just saying. But you have two very talented offensive linemen, and more than that, too. But, you know, Dorian Bunn, who is, you know, was an off-conference player, and Firth Miller, who just followed me on Twitter yesterday. Hey, shout out to him.
Yeah.
A couple of big guys. Talk about some of those guys from your perspective as their coach on the O-line.
Yeah, those two guys are awesome. They're fun to be around. They're hard workers. You know, we just were maxing out last week and fun watching them max out on squat and, you know, get after it and see those big numbers and see the work that they've put in and the things that they've done. You know, you mentioned Zach. You know, Zach probably just followed you on Twitter because he probably just created one, you know, to be honest. You know, he's a great kid. You know, he's getting some interest from some bigger schools. And I think if we weren't in this transfer portal kind of world, especially with offensive linemen, I feel like that's what, like, some of the position battles have been hurt by the transfer portal and stuff like that. Of you can just go and find a fourth or fifth year guy, but offensive line, I feel like that recruiting has hurt a lot in that, and you see a lot of movement in offensive line. He's been down on Indiana State's campus, obviously Gavin being down there and him speaking highly of some of those guys. Jace has been down there with that. You know, had a great conversation with Harding. And if you don't know anything about Harding, you know, you really need to look them up and see how intense they are. You know, they're competing for the D2 national championship all the time. And you know, like, their comment was, man, like, we saw him in camp and loved him in camp. And then when we saw your film, you know, we run a very similar style offense to what they do. And they're like, man, that's exactly how we would want him to play. It's a little bit farther away down in Arkansas, so we'll see, you know, kind of where he goes and what he does. He just got offered by Hillsdale. And unfortunately, like, I think he's more talented than that. But just in the world that we are, you know, I look at Cole Mosier for us, who's starting at Ball State, and Zach is a lot in that same build and framework. And, you know, coaching is in his dad's background and things like that. And then Dorian for us is just a force, man. He's a force for us on the O-line. And, you know, what's unique, I think, is that right now we're sitting, you know, when you look at O-line and D-line, you got nine separate guys who are starting, and not a lot of teams have that. And not a lot of teams have that ability. And at the same time, I feel like we got a couple other guys that are right behind them adding to that competition too. So like when I look at our offense and defensive line, I feel like, you know, you got nine positions, but I feel like we're 12, 13 deep in there that could play in varsity, and you got to take advantage of that. You know, I love it. Like, you know, you put those guys together and see what they can do. And I don't know, let's find some way to get some limelight on some of these big old dudes that are doing the hard work for us.
Yeah. Well, we love it to hear about that. And those guys on this show, Coach, you guys are obviously, and it speaks to your, you know, the depth you have on the offensive line and the talent that you have there. You guys are a very, you know, run heavy type program, almost 2,500 yards last season, and you know, probably expect to hit the similar number and maybe even more this year with the experience you have coming back. But you have, you know, at least you're shuffling some players around at the skill position, talent, you know, and, you know, as DC might have found out at the Summit City Shootout, you're going to be having maybe a new quarterback this year, some shifting some guys to wide receiver. You know, obviously, I don't think that changes your, you know, philosophy as far as running the ball more than you do pass it, but it feels like having those, you know, shoveling those guys around might be able to give you a you know, a change up pitch or you know, a curveball, so to speak, to get to with shuffling some of those guys around, and if you could speak to, you know, who some of those guys you're looking forward to at the skill position in for this year.
Absolutely. So like for us, you know, like last year, Gabe McDivitt played some quarterback for us, and then when we got into the playoff time, like he's just such a great athlete, and so we weren't utilizing him, I don't think, in the best way possible of making sure that he's getting the ball and he can use his athleticism in that. And then he's such a good DB for us. And so I think we learned that in the playoffs and things like that, you know, like first round of sectional, you know, being able to put him out at corner where he hasn't played a whole lot for us, and seeing that, you know, was huge. And then moving him to slot and that kind of situation allows us to try to capitalize on him playing both ways. Lucas Duncan has had an awesome offseason for us. A kid that played last year, started some as a sophomore, got some playing time, but then he got hurt. So he got hurt towards the end of last year as a sophomore. And so he's had a great summer, and just, you know, an electric kind of player that goes and gets the ball, can be a receiver, can be a runner, and you know, somebody that we just have to get the ball in their hands and those kind of situations. And you know, so for us, you know, kind of going into the summer, trying to figure out what we're going to do at the quarterback spot. And I think like Jordan Parrott has kind of stepped up for us. You know, I felt like, you know, last year with Jordan being a sophomore, it would have been a tough position to put him in. You know, this sophomore is just a weird season for high school kids, period. You know, like where you have some that have matured and they're ready to go, some that mentally could probably handle the situation, but you're not so sure if they're ready physical for what a Friday night looks like. And so Jordan has grown so much from that, and just developed in that sense and does a lot of those things for us. And I think another guy that you're going to see a lot of when we're talking about the offense is Noah Geiger. So he was a sophomore last year, so he's going to be a junior and somebody that's going to be in the backfield playing some fullback, playing some slot for us in what we want to do, and just explosive in that manner. And just he's just built so low to the ground that, you know, it's tough. Like, he's going to be able to hide behind some of those 6'4", 6'5", offensive linemen that we have, and then all of a sudden he's there and he's at that second level and can kind of catch some guys off guard in that sense. You know, for us, yes, you mentioned the running game, but we've got to do a lot better in the passing game than what we necessarily did last year. You know, when we're looking at it, you know, we want to be, you know, around that 3,000 rushing yards, 1,000 passing yards, to be in that kind of ballpark and kind of sense with that, would be huge for us. And I think all those guys lead into that. But definitely helps when you have big beef up front.
Yeah, Coach. When we first got into the NEA discussion, we had somebody trying to get a little extra love on the show this morning as they commented, "Go Eagles." I know you recognize that name as the guy you were just talking about. trying to get a little extra love going into the summer, I see. But no, I have that was going to be one of my questions, so I'm glad Bryce asked it. He won offensive top performer at our Indiana Prep Showcase. So I got to see him front and center for that. I think a lot of people are going to be, if he, you know, depending on how much he plays, I don't know. I won't get into that. I'll let you figure that out in the next couple of weeks. But kid's talented, and I think you got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. But going to I want to go to the defensive side of the ball because, you know, in my personal opinion, I think that's what helped you guys be so successful last year. You know, I already talked about Gavin Smith, who, you know, broke the record for interceptions for your program. But I want to go to the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned the defensive line, but going to linebackers and DBs, who are some guys that you're expecting to, you know, have big seasons at those two positions?
Yeah, so, you know, DB-wise, you know, we bring back both of our starting corners and Tanner Ellis and Barry, you know, coming back and being able to do that. So Barry, I think, is going to stick a corner, and we're kind of moving Ellis around a little bit, trying to find the right kind of situation for him and looking more at, like, some strong safety there. And Gabe has been really playing some free safety for us, which is where Gavin played last year. It gives us some speed. And then Jaden Williams has been playing some corner for us. But what's nice is you take somebody like Tanner Ellis, who is a wrestler, you know, great wrestler, you know, advances far into the tournament and things like that. And you're able to move him to a position of strong safety because he's not afraid to hit anybody, but he has the skill set to be able to play corner and has been a 2-year starter for us out at corner. And so, you know, had a huge pick six in the first round of sectional last year. And so, you know, that actually, I think, creates a little bit more versatility for us on defense. You know, when you're talking about somebody that's lining over your slot receiver, that's already been a guy who's 2-year starter at corner. And so I think that's huge for us. Corbin McIntosh coming back at linebacker. And then our starting tight end from last year, Andrew Firth Miller. So actually Zach's twin brother is going to be playing middle linebacker for us. And not playing as much tight end for us, but he has varsity experience. So you have varsity experience on one side of the ball, and we've kind of challenged him to be the quarterback of the defense because, you know, you mentioned Gavin graduating, but, you know, it's I think it's going to be a harder shoes to fill of Sam Bean, who's at Indiana Wesleyan for us now, and just how he commanded the defense. I think you look at some of the times where we struggled mid-season last year. It was right after we lost Sam. So we lost Sam for 3 or 4 games, and he was such an integral part of our defense. And so, like, we kind of challenge Andrew to hey, pick up that slack, take that, because it's like having a coach on the field. And Andrew's done a fantastic job with that, of communicating and doing that. And then having those guys in the defensive backfield that are able to communicate and really challenge them. It's been fun to watch them grow. We didn't put Gabe at free safety until July. And so, you know, you talk about, we have a couple scrimmages that week, and all of a sudden he hasn't had any practice time at free safety, and all of a sudden he's at free safety. And then, you know, you put Tanner at strong safety for us. And all of a sudden, you know, on snap, he backpedals a little bit, and you're like, whoa, I know we haven't been able to practice this, but he's not a passive guy to do that. So he's really coachable to be able to change that. And so just excited to have those guys back. We lose, like you said, 2 huge pieces, you know, Sam being one of our leading tacklers and Gavin with all the turnovers that he created and things like that. But I think it's time for some of those other guys to step up. And what linebacker doesn't want to be, you know, playing behind, you know, the lightest guy is Jace on the defensive line. And you're talking like 215, 220 with Jace. And so, you know, Gavin Shepard being, you know, over 300 playing some D tackle, and Tanner Ryder being like 6'7" and being, you know, like 260 and things like that. And then, you know, some of the other guys were playing at defensive end. Jake Slater is going to be a junior for us. So I'm excited about the defense. And the best part is, like, we tell our offensive line and we tell our defensive line, like, you guys are going against some of the best competition that you may see, you know, with each going against each other every single, you know, week. And so it's iron sharpens iron, man. Like, you know, like we're getting better.
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to pull up this comment because I know you know Coach Kunkel well. Who is your pick for week three, South Adams, Bluffton? You got a prediction for us, Coach?
Kunkel would do that. You know, these guys, we're on a group chat. And, you know, with me and Kenny's on that group chat, Justin Kenny. Yep. Kenny,
I've heard of that group chat. Yeah,
he wanted me to do this shirtless, and I said the people aren't ready to see that, and that's probably this is not real, so don't fire me. It's for my OnlyFans account, but you know some things like that. But I don't have one. It was a joke. But week three, you know, you got to take a coin flip, and I think I got to go with Grant Mosier because Kunkel backed out on our scrimmage this summer. He said that he didn't have enough practices. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. No, but those guys are awesome, and I it's tough playing good friends, right? Like it's like I feel that week is like there's no communication on that group chat, and I totally understand that. I wouldn't want to go against somebody that I'm so close with, and it's always a tough situation to have to play each other. But we'll see.
Yeah, Coach Kunkel, thanks for watching. I've heard of that infamous group chat going back a few years now. I won't repeat anything that was said, and I've just been on the periphery, just hearing stories about it. So, but you know, speaking of schedule, I appreciate and applaud you know what you guys do as far as scheduling. You guys go out and you know face some of the toughest programs. You know, historically, you guys have played Warsaw for a long time there. You've played Busco, and they're good. And at the top in your non-conference, you have Northwood, and then go to Northridge. So you're facing an old familiar foe in Luke Amstutz when you go up there in week two. And obviously, you have to feel like, you know, playing those types of programs that are very good in the regular season and in the postseason will not only help you, you know, go through the NE8 slate, which is always going to be difficult. But then when you get to that sectional 19, it's, you got to, you know, like you mentioned, iron sharpens iron, and you've got to feel like your iron is going to be pretty sharp going into the postseason after those types of games.
Yeah. You know, and it's been interesting to see just the progress over the years of who we had week one and week two. You know, I was even talking about somebody, you know, somebody was asking me at church today, you know, hey, the SAC, like what's happening there? Like would the NE8 ever want to go to 10? And they were asking me about that at church today. And I was like, you know, I personally don't want to go to 10. And the reason is because then you can kind of, you can schedule some of these things and you can guarantee some of the things that you're doing. And I think that there's some unique matchups and what we're able to do. And so to be able to put Northwood on our schedule, who's, you know, a traditional powerhouse and things like that, it's something that we want to do. We want to challenge ourselves right away. You want to find somebody that's going to put butts in the seats too, and you know, have good matchups and things like that. And so, you know, when we were in a situation, we were playing Plymouth, and then, you know, Plymouth chose to go in a different direction, and then that's perfectly okay with what they did, and then being able to pick up Northridge. And, you know, what's crazy is we signed that contract with Northridge before Luke is even there. And, you know, when Luke moves into the AD position, you're like, okay, like, hey, he's a awesome coach, and now I never have to coach against him again. And then all of a sudden he's at Northridge. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, he does such a great job of getting his guys ready and being prepared and building a program. And so, you know, we wanted to challenge in that sense. And, you know, so, I mean, we're even talking, you know, this will be the last time that we play Northwood. And I'm disappointed in that. Like, I would like for that to continue to be something, but I think that they may have, something that's better for them and in that situation, and that's fine. And so we're trying to find somebody to be able to challenge us and put us in those positions. And it's always interesting, those conversations with other teams of trying to find a week one and week two. It can be hard, and it can be something that is tough to do. But at the same time, it's fun, because I think, you know, like the 1 year we're playing Delta, and, you know, what you want is a long bus ride, so that it prepares you for, you know, playoff time and stuff like that. But then, you know, the IHSA just keeps putting us in the same sectional where it's like, oh, hey, you guys played these guys in the regular season. Merry Christmas. You guys are going to be in the same sectional. And, hey, we'll throw like Dwinger and Wayne and Northside in there, you know, and all those different kinds of things. I think my first year, one of my first years is they had split the sectional north and south in Fort Wayne. And that was kind of unique. And it's not that I don't want the challenge. It's just, man, like, I mean, I don't think we get to show what our conference really can do when all of us are in the same sectional and only one of us get to advance through that situation. And I think a perfect thing would be like a couple of years ago when Huntington North won the sectional down there. And then, you know, I mean, that's a team that finished fifth in our conference and they're winning another sectional. And I think that's how deep our conference is and how challenging it is. So with week one and week two, you want to challenge yourself. You want to get ready for that. You want to do that. And I feel like we even do that with our scrimmage. We scrimmage Warsaw and it gets over really quick because, you know, both are running, you know, traditional running teams and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's a wake up call to physicality when we're to scrimmage them.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to what you guys are able to do. It sounds like and it looks like on paper that you guys have a lot coming back and a lot to be excited about. So, and we're excited to see where this season shakes out for you guys. And again, thank you for coming on the show here today.
Yeah, love it. Thank you for having me on here. And I'm sure, you know, everybody else is appreciative of what you guys do to highlight those things. We encourage you guys. It's not a long drive to get out to Columbia City High School. So, you know, I think some people, when you say, hey, like, where are you at? Okay, Columbia City, where's that? You know, it's not as far as what they necessarily think that it is, but we'd love to have you out there August 21st. You know, you want to see Northwood versus us. It's a huge matchup week one. So, you know, just encourage you to get out there and come see that.
Yeah, definitely one of the nicest facilities in the area. I was out there a few years ago when you guys played Busco, and definitely very nice facilities. And I would encourage anybody to get out there for a game, and hopefully we can do so once again this year, Coach.
Heck yeah. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, sir. Alrighty. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
That is Columbia City Coach Brett Fox joining us here on the show. And yeah, DC, a lot to be excited about with the Eagles this year. I'm interested to see where you think they fit into the fold of the conference, because it is deep. It's it can go down to, like you said, we were talking about throughout the show here, at least, you know, five teams that I think are going to be near the top and be competitive. And we haven't even touched on Huntington North a lot, but they have a lot of experience coming back as well. I know, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had like one of their top quarterbacks, I want to say. He's definitely a name to know going into the fourth season under Mike Eschbach, a longtime coach in this area. So
they got a running back too that is like, so when I did my top running backs, he was a running back that was like, I had him like in the 11, 12 range and potential to jump in that top 10, Chris Jemison.
Yep.
He's another name that people need to watch from Huntington North as well. So they return their quarterback and running back for this season. So Huntington North is going to be, they're going to be scary. I think they're still going to score a lot of points and be one of the top offenses in the conference. You know, while a lot of other teams like, you know, Columbia City's replacing guys, Leo's replacing their offense. So, you know, for preseason rankings, it's tough to, you know, plug and play with, you know, teams with so many holes, while Huntington North, you got your quarterback and running back both back. So, and some of the linemen. So, yeah, Huntington North, a team that we didn't, you know, talk a whole lot about today, not with the coach, but that's a team to watch, I believe, with Huntington North.
Yeah. So we've talked to at least to four coaches overall here in the con. We talked to Coach Alex Stewart at Media Day a couple weeks ago. So if you want to go back on our YouTube channel and find that interview, you can as well. So let's get into who the order of prediction here. It's you think it's going to be difficult. And as we've gone through and talking today and looking over the information in the last week or so, studying up for this preview, I think I have my list of the list of how it's going to shake out in the NE8. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go? I'll go first.
All right. Man, this is hard. It's really hard because I think there's going to be a shakeup from last year. A lot of teams are losing a lot. And one of those teams, and going back to last season first, before we even move forward, obviously East Noble won the conference. Obviously, yeah. Undefeated in the conference. DeKalb was right behind them at 6-1. Leo was 5-2. Huntington North was 4-3. Columbia City was 3-4. New Haven was 2-5. Norwell was 1-6. And Belmont went 0-7. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of shakeup. There's going to be a lot of shakeup. I do still have East Noble winning.
Okay.
I have East Noble still winning the conference. Okay. It's going to be closer, though. They ain't going undefeated like they did last year.
Really?
It ain't happening. I don't think they go undefeated in the conference.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going Huntington North.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Yeah, Lathan James is about to go crazy this year. Jemison, they both got a lot to prove this year. And like I said, with so many question marks with the other programs in terms of, offensive production, skill players, quarterback. It's really hard for me to pick a Leo team. We talked to Dorfler earlier. He does have Luke Marquardt, who's at the quarterback position. Not a lot of experience there, replacing Nathan Foster. They do have Paul Woods, who has been a running back. Yeah. DeKalb, we talked to Robertson. Still don't know who their quarterback is going to be. I don't think that's really been, it's a few weeks away, so they do got a few weeks to figure that out. It's just too many question marks for me. So I got East Noble number one, Huntington North number two. I got Columbia City number three.
Nice.
Yeah. Return a lot of linemen, which is very important. You return your running back. Like we talked about Jordan earlier, their quarterback, he's really improved. I talked earlier about the Indiana Prep Showcase. I've seen him. He's done really well. He's really improved. I think he's going to do some big things for Columbia City. So that and returning all those linemen, I go Columbia City number three. I got DeKalb right after that, Leo, New Haven, Norwell, Belmont.
Yeah. It's not a bad order. I don't have much change from my order, honestly. Mine is East Noble at the top. I think they have the best player in the conference in Austin Phillips. They also have guys like Lucas Nyman, I'm not sure how you say it, in the backfield as well. But you have Alex Phillips, Alex Scott. You have guys like Jack Slater, who's coming back as well on the defensive side. And then a guy that missed some time that I think will get some more touches this year and be a factor is a guy like Ian Ramey, who's a really good baseball player as well. He was hurt last year. I'm excited to see. They have on defense, they have 8 of their top 11 tacklers back, including Keon Quake, who had 16.5 tackles for loss last year. So I just think the production that they return is so deep, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that I don't think they lose a game in conference. I think they go undefeated. So we differ there. I think that they go through the conference and will be one of the top teams in that sectional 19. So I think they're going to be very good this year. I know that they have to replace their quarterback. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're muted there, buddy.
I think either Huntington North, Columbia City, or DeKalb or Leo is going to catch them once.
I was looking through their their schedule is. Like right off the bat, it's tough. I mean, the two non-conference games, yes, they have Northside and Snyder, but those don't matter in any. But then they have two. They play Huntington North, DeKalb, and Leo, first three games of the conference schedule. So you'll know by week five if East Noble is going to be in the driver's seat for the conference or not. Or is somebody else going to maybe tie and they have a co-champion or something like that. But I think East Noble is still, I think, the team at the top, the team to beat. Just with all the experience they have coming back. And then, like I said, the top player in the conference, in my opinion. My number two team is Columbia City. I think with what they have on the offensive defensive line and the type of program that Coach Fox runs. That's, they lean on that so much with how much they run the ball, running. Hopefully, like you said, they want to run for like 3,000 yards this season. That's a hell of a goal. But with you, when you have an offensive line that has that much experience coming back, and some of those big boys who are getting, you know, big boy offers, or, you know, getting looked at by colleges, that's all that needs to be said for about. So I think Columbia City East Noble will be a really good game. That one's later on in the year, but I think that one could go a long way in deciding the conference. My number three team, is Huntington North. So you and I flip flop on those. Again, experience coming back on both sides of the ball. And they had so many close losses last year. Their only like bad loss was to East Noble. It was a 39-0 loss, but they were in every single game. So yes, they went 4-6 last year, but five of those losses were just decided by one score or less. So I think with the experience they have coming back, the talent that you mentioned, they're just going to turn those tight losses into wins this year. So I'm excited for what Huntington North could look like this year, and good for Huntington North. They've been a program that's been near the bottom of the conference last year, for the last, you know, decade or so. I think that they could be one of the challengers for the top of the conference this year. So Huntington North, number three. I got DeKalb, number four. And then Leo. I think Leo, I know Coach Dorfler does a heck of a job and he's a really good coach. I just think there's too much to replace. There's going to be, I think, young, inexperienced, mm-hmm. that they'll be competitive, no doubt, but I just think that they're just shy of, you know, what they have. And I think them and DeKalb are kind of interchangeable. I think they just both have a lot to replace. And I think at this point next year, I think DeKalb, Leo, if, you know, all those juniors, underclassmen come back, then next year's, you know, NE8 race, I think, could be even that much more exciting. But then I like you, have New Haven, Norwell, and Belmont as my bottom three. I think New Haven, I think, will be improved. I think Norwell, you know, hopefully it will improve. And hopefully Belmont gets in the win column this year. You know, I know a lot of people are excited about Coach Blake Baker down there, but just hopefully to have some direction as a program. And I've always been interested because Belmont always has a really good like wrestling program. They're like one of the top wrestling programs in the state, especially in this area. Like, how do you not have some kids that, you know, you have kids in that those hallways that have a lot of toughness and, you know, want to grapple people. And it's like, how can you not turn that into the football program where you just have, it's, I know it's probably, you know, something I'm not super familiar with, but it's just like, you feel like if you have those two things should go hand in hand as far as being being able to work with each other and being able to have a really good or at least a good football program. Because it was 2008, Belmont was winning a state title in football in 3A. So, like, and the program is a very long way away from that at this point. So hopefully they can get back to that, you know, point at some day. I think this year will be a struggle.
The biggest thing is they just got to get kids to come out. Like, they struggle to get kids to suit up.
No, and that is an issue. You know, when you see four straight 0-10 seasons, why do you want to come out and play if you just, you know, you're going to go out there and get your ass kicked? You know, like, that's it's unfortunate. And but hopefully, like I said, there's been some excitement under Coach Baker, and we'll see if it turns into something. Hopefully the numbers come up. Hopefully they can be more competitive, and we'll see. But I think the NE8 should provide a lot of really good games. As DC and I have both mentioned, the depth is there. I think there's five teams that are going to be very competitive, and I think New Haven might also be competitive if, you know, some things shake out the right way. I think they have some – I mean, you had a Trey McCraney as one of your top QBs, you know, so they have pieces.
And Donald Gage as a top receiver too.
Yeah, so they have pieces. It's just, can this team come together as a whole and be competitive? I know Coach Shear has, you know, has struggled in his first 2 years, so maybe we can turn that around a little bit over there on the east side. So any other thoughts on the NE8 before we wrap up the show here?
That's pretty much it. It's going to be a loaded conference where I believe, you know, while we both picked East Noble, mm-hmm. a lot of teams feel like it is up for the taking. I think it's pretty wide mm-hmm. open. So, you know, East Noble does have to replace a very important position. While they do have the best player in the conference in Austin Phillips, They still got to replace that quarterback position, which is the toughest to replace. That's your leader on offense, and everything goes through him. Think how much Riley Biddle did for that offense last year, both on the ground and in the air. So replacing Riley Biddle, I think, is going to be really tough. We'll see how they replace him in the first couple of weeks. I'll be at week two. You'll be at week one. So we'll both get a chance to see East Noble both in the first couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to it all. NE8's going to be loaded this year. I'm excited.
Yep. I think it'll be really fun. That game on October 2nd, Columbia City at East Noble, I think will go a long way in deciding the conference. That one should be, could be marked down on the calendars as a one to go to. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and find out. So, next week, SAC.
Let's go.
Lots of teams that are going to be competing for the SAC. As you mentioned, you were listing off, so many guys from like Northrop today that I was like, man, I know we talked to Coach Schaefer back when he got the job. And it's like, are they going to be right there once again? Is it Carroll? Is it, Snyder? Can they turn things around this year? Northside?
I already have my standings for the SAC done.
I knew you would. I knew you would. I know you're the SAC guy here on the show.
But, hey, look, I cover it all though. Don't get it twisted. I watch them.
I know. I'm just ragging on you a little bit, but I think it's going to be very fun in the SAC. I think there's going to be a lot of good games, a lot of good teams, and we'll see if you still have Dwenger, Lures, Homestead, like any of those. I mean, Dwenger coming off state championship, like you can't go too far down the list without mentioning the program like Dwenger. So, and it's like Wayne has pieces, Southside has pieces. Like, man, it's just
I'm trying to think who else we need to bring on. We interviewed Garrett already.
Mm-hmm.
We had Lindsey.
Yeah, Kyle Lindsey,
Kurt Tittman. So we could get Dinan.
Yeah, you talked to Coach Johnson at Media Day. Yeah. I also talked to him, but not on camera. There's Outside
Wayne, Homestead, Concordia.
Yeah.
So
it should be a
big show next week too.
Yeah, it should be another loaded show. And we have more than just high school football content coming out tomorrow. We have an interview with Phil Steele coming out. So make sure if you are interested in high school but want to hear more college football, about the likes of IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, and some other national college football coverage, we have an interview with Phil Steele dropping tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that on our YouTube page. And then we'll also share it on our social medias as well. So a lot more coverage to come on the football front here at the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce in DC. So make sure you tune in next week for our SAC preview. This has been our NE8 preview. If you want to go back and listen to interviews with Coach Dorfler, Robertson, or Fox, those will be up on our YouTube page here shortly, those individual clips. So stay tuned for that and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page, which has gone up significantly since we started on the month of July. So, and I think it's all these people wanting to know more about high school football. So that's what we are feeding you guys. So make sure you are subscribed to the show. Make sure you follow us on X, Facebook, and we'll see if we can get our Instagram running back up there. It's been down for some time, but we'll try to get that up and running. And make sure you follow us, DC and I, each on social media as well. That's DC Hendricks. I'm Bryce Vance. This has been the Sideline Sports Show. We will see you all next week.